This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
There's a school of thought about the global economy that goes a little something like this. Sure, the European debt crisis is the biggest and most immediate problem we've got. But if you want to get a handle on the longer-term problem, you got to check out the other side of the planet. We learned this week inflation in China has hit two-year lows, yet another on a long list of indicators that the world's second-biggest economy is slumping. And falling prices are bad when you're thinking globally. They are quite nice, though, locally, for small business owners in China who are getting by on tight margins. Our correspondent Rob Schmitz is in the middle of a year-long series about the Chinese economy, the people and the places that make it work. Stories from a single street in Shanghai called the Street of Eternal Happiness. Today, one woman and her flower shop on that street. Here's Rob.
It's late afternoon on the Street of Eternal Happiness, number 109. A customer at Zhao Celine's tiny flower shop has come looking for a Zhao Cai Shu, a money tree. It's a miniature chestnut tree that's supposed to bring good fortune. Mrs. Zhao shakes her head. She's out of money trees. She said she could certainly use some.
3 years ago, I would have been sitting on $10,000 to $15,000 profit at the end of the year. But the last 2 years, they've been really tough.
Zhao's profits have been cut in half thanks to increased competition and the rising price of everything in China. Zhao says she'll survive. She's been through worse. Her journey to the Street of Eternal Happiness started in 1992. It was a crucial year for China and the world. The Soviet Union and Eastern Europe's socialist bloc had just collapsed.
Repeating once again our top story, Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev has been removed from power.
Capitalism, it seemed, was winning the world over. Zhao was a young mother in a poor village in northern China at the time. Her husband, a coal miner. Their life there, much like China's economy, was stagnant. China was at a crucial crossroads. Go further down the socialist path or embrace capitalism. Chinese leader Deng Xiaoping announced that China would do both. That year, Deng took a month-long train ride through southern China, a trip chronicled in a state newsreel. The footage shows the short, elderly leader making speech after speech, encouraging workers to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and make money. He repeats the term, Gaige Kaifang, reform China's economy and open itself up to the outside world. This was called socialism with Chinese characteristics. Deng's speeches that year moved Mrs. Zhao so much that she decided to leave her family to make money as a worker at an electronics factory hundreds of miles away in Shanghai.
Before I left for Shanghai, the women in my village stopped talking to me. They looked at me in a sort of sarcastic way. Why on earth would a woman move so far away from home? All of them stayed at home, knitting, and most of them were laid off. They thought I was leaving to take part in some immoral business.
In fact, Zhao was playing a crucial role in China's economic history, joining hundreds of millions of other workers, heeding Deng's call to change their and the country's destiny. The movement was considered the largest human migration in history. At the time, the popular song Migrants from the Same Hometown captured the feelings of homesickness and sacrifice of Zhao's generation. When migrants from the same hometown meet, the song goes, tears fill their eyes. When Zhao turned 30, her Shanghai factory laid her off for being too old. She then spent her savings to start her flower shop on the Street of Eternal Happiness. That was 12 years ago.
Since then, I've made enough money to build a couple of new houses back in my village. Whenever I return home, the same women who criticized me for leaving, they're now very nice to me.
Zhao's two young sons moved to Shanghai to join her. Her oldest son finished junior high with some of the best grades in his class. But because he was a migrant, he wasn't allowed to attend high school in Shanghai. Only legal residents of the city are allowed to do that. It's like this throughout much of China. By law, migrants are typically treated like illegal immigrants inside their own country. In the cities they move to, many of them aren't eligible for social benefits like health care and schooling.
This makes me so angry. How can it be that all of us are under the same leadership? We live in the same country, yet we're not treated the same.
Zhao was forced to send her son back to her home village. Without his mother's supervision, his grades slipped, and he started skipping school to stay at home to play video games. Now he lives with her, and he's still playing video games when he's not working a part-time job at a golf course. I ask her if either of her sons will take over her business when she retires.
They make less than I do, but they're happy that way. Just yesterday, they told me that running my business would take them away from their friends and their hobbies. They're just like all young people today. All of them want a job that gives them free time for leisure, but that pays well and has a happy working environment. They ask for too much. We asked for nothing.
That touchstone song from Zhao's generation asks, how much bitterness have you eaten? Eating bitter is a popular Chinese expression for working hard. Zhao says her sons haven't even tasted bitterness. They don't have to. Here on the street of eternal happiness, she eats it for them every day. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.